Are you ready to buy or sell your home? The Jim Allen Group is a nationally recognized and award-winning real estate team in the Triangle, dedicated to providing exceptional service to meet your needs. With the latest insights and expert market knowledge, they'll make your home buying and selling journey as smooth as possible. Don't wait. Head over to jimallen.com and start your next move today. That's jimallen.com. The Jim Allen Group, your partner in real estate.
Hurricanes and cons. What are we most confident in? What are we most concerned about when it comes to the Carolina Hurricanes? And then at the end, we will update, if need be, the Hurriconfidence meter, if we need to change it. I'm not sure if we will. Hey, I have good news and bad news. Which do you want first? You always pick the bad news, which is why we start with our concerns. What am I concerned about when it comes to the Carolina Hurricanes? I've been having to give this disclaimer recently. Not much. I'm not concerned about much. Maybe that's my concern, right? Maybe my concern is like, what am I missing? Almost nothing. You have to, there are, and there have been times this season. We do hurricanes and cons. We do confidence and concerns every week for the Canes. There have been times this season where it feels like we got it, right? The concern is the attack. The concern is too many penalties. The concern is they're not scoring enough on power play. The concern is goaltender. Any of those four would work. This is the opposite of that. You really have to kind of close one eye and squint with the other to see a concern on this roster. But that's a good thing, right? Peaking going into the playoffs. My concern is this. And I want to know, I want you to know I'm reaching. Maybe concerns about the future. Maybe concerns about the future. I've spoken with professional athletes who have said everybody is playing for their next contract. Everybody is understanding, you know, how many years they have left, what their agent is telling them. There are a lot of expiring contracts on this team, right? And it's Burns, it's Pesci, it's some guys that you're big fans of. There are some expiring contracts on this team. And up until now, it really hasn't played a factor. You don't feel like someone's pressing to get stats to be able to go into their next negotiation saying, hey, I did all of this. It hasn't felt like that. But within the last week, I'm trying to think of what day. For opening day, we were out at Durham Bulls, the Durham Bulls Athletic Park, whichever day that was. They all bleed together. And on that day, Scott Morrow, out of UMass, signed the entry-level deal for the Canes. Since then, there's been three or four that have signed entry-level contracts to join the Canes. And they are almost like visual reminders that the Canes are preparing for some of the guys on the team right now to maybe not be here next year, right? Morrow is somebody that I would not be surprised if he's in the opening day lineup as a defenseman next year. That's a reminder for the current defenseman, like, you might not be here next year. And that is enough to maybe put a little waver in your brain waves, right? Maybe a little wiggle in the wrong direction in your thought process. I know I'm reaching. I said I'm reaching. But everyone's aware of contracts. Everyone's aware of the decisions that have to be made this offseason. And now you have these young whippersnappers skating around at practice as visual reminders of like, hey, old guys, that costs too much. We would really like your jobs. And by the way, they signed us to entry-level contracts to prepare us to one day take your jobs. If not next year, the next year. It's an interesting deal. Graham, what's your concern for the Canes?
This is a little bit of a stretch since we've only seen it happen once in a blue moon. And by blue moon, I mean last week when they played the Boston Bruins at home. A slow start. That's really the only concern that I have right now with this team. It seems like when they play from behind, they look totally different, as do most NHL teams, I guess you could say. But to me, the Hurricanes just thrive as a team when they're playing with the lead and rather than chasing it. I think that's fair just for Hurricanes hockey in general. Outside of the Washington game, when they began the game down 2-0 before they came back and won it 4-2, they look like a totally different team in the 3-0 win against Columbus and the 4-1 win against Boston. I know you could say, well, yeah, Graham, duh, it's because they won those games. But again, To me, just watching the Hurricanes
so
this
the slow
season,
start, you're talking about two Bruins games ago, back on April 4th.
Yeah, last Thursday, I believe.
Yep. I'll add to that, Okay, I'm gonna piggyback off of what you said. That game was following a 4-day off, their last real rest of the regular season.
Sure.
4 days off, and then they started their first 15 minutes, looked like they had 4 months off. They were very slow to start. At the end of the regular season, their regular season ends April 16th. They're expected to be playing in the postseason somewhere around April 20th, 21st. There might be a 4 days off there, which they better learn from, right? I don't know if it's, you know, less unplugging, less days off, louder rock music in the locker room. Like, I don't know what it is, but they can't start slow, as you said, in game one of the postseason because they had 4 days off, like they did the last time they had 4 days off.
I guess my big picture concern should be, the lack of days off, strangely enough.
Let's jump to confidence. My confidence is something that every coach says they want to do. Peaking going into the playoffs. They played one of their best games of the year in their fourth to last game of the regular season. That's how you draw it up, right? That's what you want to do. That's exactly how you draw it up. Whether you can sustain it through the postseason, whether you build off of it through the postseason, that's yet to be seen. But I don't think they can say, like, oh, well, we were slumping and we had to flip a switch going into the postseason. They've been playing really well recently, which is what you want to do at this time of year.
My confidence, Jake Guentzel. His production since joining the team obviously has been a big notice, playing alongside Sebastian Aho and Seth Jarvis. In that win against Boston, when he extended the lead to 3-1 in the third period and extended his point streak to 6 games, 4 goals and 6 assists. He's had 22 points, 6 goals, and 16 assists in 15 games since being acquired from the Pittsburgh Penguins. I mean, might be the X-factor player that he is the X-factor player you need heading into the postseason just because of the experience he has playing in so many Stanley Cup playoffs.
Bring those stats, huh? I like it.
A big stat guy.
Hey, nothing wrong with it. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. That's cons and cons. Now we have to update our Hurry confidence meter. This one's tough. The Canes have... This is a segment that I really enjoy. And actually, before we had the Hurry confidence meter, we had the Bryce-o-meter. During football season, it was all about Bryce Young, how confident we were in Bryce based on his play. And the Bryce-o-meter, I mean, it was like a pinwheel. It was all the way left, all the way right, all the way left. The confidence rose, the confidence fell, right? He looked like he turned a corner. Oh, no, wait, he's making the same mistakes again. Oh, the coach got fired. Oh, like it was all over the place. It's been like a month. We haven't moved the Hurry confidence meter. It is as far right as it could go. At the plan the parade slice, this is, you know, I always describe it as like a gas gauge on your dashboard. It is all the way right, as far right as you can go, like a full tank of gas. Plan the parade. It is, maybe we should have been more difficult early on.
Yeah.
Do you know what we may have done?
What's that?
Fallen into the slam dunk contest faux pas, which is, you get like every year, right? There's a slam dunk contest. They have like Shaq, Dwayne Wade, Julius Erving, Spud Webb, and Candace Parker as the judges, right? And the first dunk is pretty good, and they're all like nines and tens. And then the next dunk is better than that. So they have to go, all right, I guess it's all tens, right? That was better than the first one. And then the third dunk is out of this world, and they're just like, well, we can't give better than a perfect score, so we're just going to more tens. And then the second and third dunk end up tying, right? They end up being both 50s, even though we all know the third dunk was better than the second dunk. They just got to the max too early. I think we may have done that, because as soon as they traded for Jake Guentzel, the moment that trade went through, I flipped that bad boy all the way to plan the parade, which was the equivalent of like the second dunk being all the way to the right, right? 50. You know, they went between the legs. I went 50. Then the next person went between the legs twice. And I'm like, I'm already at 50. What do you want me to do? So it's just been at plan the parade forever. And I can't find a reason to change it. And we've looked for reasons. We brought Adam Gold in here and said, where would you put the Hurry confidence meter? He put it all the way on the right. I've asked Dennis, where would he goes all the way on the right. Graham, where would you put it if we put you in charge?
This might be our year. Maybe it's
you wouldn't even put it to play in the parade. All right, this is the person we needed.
Maybe I'm just a little too superstitious, but again, 4 years of making the playoffs is great, but one thing that I feel like the Hurricanes always run into is that despite the production we're seeing out of Sebastian Aho, despite the production we're seeing out of Sepp Jarvis, even Jake Gensel's in a sense, it seems like whenever we run into another team that has a guaranteed goal scorer, that's when things kind of unravel a little bit for the Carolina Hurricanes. It's like last year when they played against the Florida Panthers and, you know, they had three consistent scorers, guys that whenever they touched the puck could put it in the back of the net. I felt like a lot of times we were sitting around asking, you know, where's Sebastian Aho? Situations like that. So I need to see in the first round guys like Sebastian Aho, Jake Gensel, Sepp Jarvis, those three, I mean, that line just in general, and then throw in there some Teuvo Teravainen, Jack Drewy, who'd be great to see. I need to see some guys that are consistent goal scorers throughout the playoffs, not scoring coming from the blue line, stuff like that.
I think you might be the opposite. You might be somebody that saw Vince Carter in 2000 and went like, seven. That's tough to be. This might be our year. They are one of the betting favorites to win the whole thing. Tied for. Actually, at one point, if you look at DraftKings, they were the number one betting favorite. You're a tough grader.
Maybe I'm just zagging when everybody else zigs. But
on ratemyprofessor.com, all the comments say, impossible grader. I spent all day on my report, and then he gave me a C.
Look, they're a good team, but we all know that playoffs, anything you do in the regular season doesn't matter once the postseason rolls around.
100% agree with you on that. But it is so you're just saying there's no possible way they could be higher than this might be our year until the postseason. They're max for you. Okay, so our maxes are just different. That's fair. Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete of Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, is it still true that a million is enough to retire on?
Tim, maybe and maybe not. The most important thing is to get a real plan that gives you income you never outlive. We'll give that away to the next 10 people. Call right now.
The number to call, 800-691-3215. Text Tim to 600-700 if you're interested in texting. Once again, that phone number is 800-691-3215 or text Tim to 600-700 for that deal. About 24 minutes till he's scheduled to tee off in Augusta, Georgia for the Masters. Let's give you an update on how he's feeling. Tiger spoke to the media. This is what he said about his body and how it feels.
I hurt every day.
Yeah.
So, yes. I ache every day, and I prefer it warm and humid and hot, and I know we're getting some thunderstorms, so at least it'll be hot. It won't be like last year.
Let me ask you this. He's 48 years old. I've heard some other 48-year-olds just say they ache every day. Is that really because of the injuries and because of the back fusions, or, you know, I'm 33 years old. My back locks up occasionally. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, obviously I can't speak too much on this because
of my age. You can secondhand account. You've spoken with people, yes?
It sounds like Tiger Woods is just any other regular 48-year-old out there.
I mean, to me, obviously, you know, the car accidents, the back fusions, the knee injuries, like, it's gonna hurt, but. You know, he's out there, the club head speed that he has at the range, the ball speed that he has at the range, it's not as if he can't still move. The question is, and I hate to say this, it's about the walking.
Yeah.
It's about the walking. If he could, you know, play in a simulator, I think he'd have a very, very good shot. He was asked what he's capable of doing this week, and this is what he said.
What do you feel like you're capable of doing this week? What do you believe that you can do this week?
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more. Want me to describe that any more than that, or we're good?
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more.
So one thing about the Masters in Augusta is that everybody knows is that playing surface is not flat.
No, it is undulated. It is hilly. It is a tough walk. It's a walk, but it's a tough walk, and it's four consecutive days. Here's the thing about Tiger Woods. You don't become Tiger Woods without being probably a delusional competitor, right? Nobody thought when you're 21 years old, you can win the Masters by double digits. He believed he could, and he did. You have to be a bit of a delusional competitor to even think some of the things he's done are possible. So he might be delusional in thinking he could get one more. You want to be the one to bet against him? Go ahead. You want to be the one to doubt him? Go ahead. I do think he tempered it a little bit by saying, if everything comes together. If everything comes together, I think I can get one more. If everything comes together means the things that are out of his control. The rain delay. They had a rain delay this morning. The first guys off the tee ended up going about 10:30, which obviously handful of hours, a few hours later than they were scheduled to. A rain delay could be bad for Tiger because he's not scheduled to tee off, like we said, until almost 4 o'clock. If he can't get in 18 holes today, that's where I think the problems hit. Like the walk up at the end of the back nine is not easy. If he has to have a 22, a 24 hole day tomorrow because he has to finish up his first round and then play 18 holes for his second round, yeah, that's going to be a tough day for him.
Do you think there's a mental factor in it too, as far as just waiting around, getting ready to play? It messes up your warm up routine. Do you think Tiger's past the whole, I don't know if I can do this anymore, stuff like that?
This is where my mythology of Tiger, like I'm not going to be 100% innocent bystander on this one. I'm not going to be an objective bystander is probably the better way to say that. I don't think there's any mental challenge in golf that he can't overcome through sheer force of will. I do think there are physical challenges that he can't overcome through sheer force of will because we've seen it happen. So we'll see how it breaks down. I want to give a shout out quickly. Akshay Bhatia stays in Wake Forest. That's where he lives. He is 1-under through 2. This is his first Masters. He did not know he was going to be playing in it until 5 days ago when he won on Sunday in a playoff in last week's PGA event. So speaking of the mental challenge that you just brought up, maybe there is something to, like, if he would, because if you win an event on the PGA Tour, you get to play in the next Masters. It's one of the ways you qualify. If he would have won one like 3 months ago and had 3 months to go, I'm going to play at the Masters. Oh, I should work on my game as it'll fit Augusta. I'm going to play in the Masters. And everybody's saying like, oh my gosh, you're going to play in the Masters. Maybe the way to do it is to qualify on Sunday, play on Thursday. You don't have time to get nervous. You're just like a shot out of a cannon and playing, because through two holes on your first Masters, 1-under par, take that every single time.
When I was watching it in the cubicle, they showed a flashback to him about 9 years ago, mm-hmm. when he was 14 years old. It must have been like an amateur.
The drive,
amateur,
chip, and putt.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So he has experience playing on the course, and he just talked about how during that time he was just ecstatic to be there.
Playing on that course is maybe like he didn't actually go around 18. It's drive, chip, and putt. It's the Augusta National has really taken it on to try to grow the game and build it with youth. So they're inviting more amateur events to Augusta National, more women's events to Augusta National, drive, chips, and putts, which are the equivalent of like punt, pass, and kick for football, things to get kids excited. Akshay is the first one,
yeah,
to go through the drive, chip, and putt event there and then eventually make it back as a player. So that's kind of cool, right? So there's some cool storylines going on there. Will Zalatoris, who played at Wake Forest, he is through 10, 1-under par, doing fine. Cam Young, who also played at Wake Forest, teeing off in about 7 minutes. So you can pay attention to them. Grayson Murray, who is a Raleigh guy, born in Raleigh and raised around here. A little bit of a rough start for him. We don't need to go ahead and rub it in, but he's 3-over through 7. So the local guys are all over the place, but hey, there's guys with local ties in the Masters.
Tiger Watch, he just left the clubhouse, got on the back of a cart, and it looks like he is on the way to the putting green to begin.
On the way to the first tee. Or actually, yeah, you're right. He's probably maybe a little chipping and couple of – I've watched Tiger. I was at his tournament, the one he hosts. It was at Congressional in Northern Virginia in 2012. This is you want a name drop story? This is my name drop story.
Go for it.
I followed Tiger on a Sunday when he won a tournament. He has 83 wins in his career. 83. And I followed him on a Sunday for one of them. And even cooler, I don't even know if it was technically a monsoon. The Saturday, there was a monsoon and power was out through all of D.C. for like a couple of hours, and tree limbs fell, and they had to work super hard to get the course back in playing shape. And because of that, a lot of people didn't come out. A lot of planes couldn't land and stuff, so it was relatively still massive crowds for Tiger, but relatively not as big or as daunting as you'd think. You can go find it. I have the clip. It was the 2012 Congressional. He was up against a tree. His ball was up against the tree. He could get a full backswing and downswing, but as soon as he made contact with the ball, he wrapped his club around a tree, like bent his club around a tree on the follow-through, put it about 190 yards. I think it was a 9-iron. Just a huge arcing hook, landed about 10 feet, ended up being the shot that like solidified the win. I was probably 30 yards from it, just going absolutely bonkers.
There you go.
Completely forgot all etiquette of being on a course, jumping up and down. Oh my God. Just going as nuts as I could.
Were you the get in the hole guy?
I don't even know what I actually said. Because you were worried he was going to snap the club. You were worried that the club would break off, that he was going to hurt himself. He had already been through quite a bit of injuries. And when he did it, you just saw the ball and it was like, and everyone was dead silent. And then it landed on the green and actually rolled closer to the hole kind of behind it. And then there was a pause where everyone kind of looked around like, did we just see that? And then explosion. It was like a wave. So yeah, I remember my Tiger experiences. But I also, what was I saying? I've watched him on the range before a round, and it's unreal. The tempo, like I wish I could film him on the range before a tournament and show it to like youth baseball players, youth basketball players, to say, when you're warming up for an event, when you're warming up for a game, you're not just like going through layup lines, like looking cool, like, oh, look at me with my fancy layup. Like, warm up with a purpose. Everything you do is to get ready, explode towards the bucket, stretch, warm up a muscle, work on this, game shots. Like, everything he did was intentional, from teeing it up to the swing. And that's why he won that day. And that's why he's the greatest golfer to ever live, in my opinion. We can argue about it, but you better bring facts.
Your heart, it's the only one you have. Fortunately, you also have a choice. Expert cardiologists, talented surgeons, highly skilled specialists, all of whom chose WakeMed. Why? The main reason is the same reason patients choose WakeMed. Everything you need for the best possible care is right here. Learn more at WakeMed.org. WakeMed Heart and Vascular Physicians. Your heart, your choice.